This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The big headline across parts of the country these days, it's hot out there. And once it's safe to do so, you're going to want to hang out outdoors. I mean, this is Chicago, and we know that these sunshiny days are only going to last for so long. Plus, July is kind of made for fun activities and sweet treats to go along with it. So here comes Reset to your midsummer rescue. I'm thinking peanut butter ice cream, maybe a coconut brownie fudge cone, a pastrami on rye with spicy mustard. And you can munch on those while getting your Shakespeare on under the stars. Sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? Now, if you haven't done much yet to kickstart your summer, don't worry. We've got you. We're going to load you up with recommendations from a few folks who have scoured the area for the good stuff. We talked with Ambar Colon, Chicago Sun-Times arts and culture reporter, John Kessler, Chicago Magazine dining critic, and Mike Davis, WBEZ's theater reporter. We started with Ambar, who, along with her features editor at the Sun-Times, sampled artisanal ice cream from 12 different shops across the city and suburbs. I told her how jealous I was.
It was, honestly, an experience that made my tummy ache for a couple days.
Oh, did it really? Yes. I can only imagine.
But it was so cool to see, you know, just the creativity that's overflowing across all of these spots in Chicago. One place that I really liked was Richard's Super Premium Ice Cream there on the south side in the Pullman neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there I tried a sweet potato ice cream that was just out of this world.
Sweet potato ice cream.
Sweet potato pie, I should say.
Sweet potato pie ice cream.
Yes.
Mike, you look perplexed. Have you heard of this?
It sounds so delicious.
Right.
Yes. That, like, the sweet potato that you get, the flavor really comes out. But then mm-hmm. there's also that, like, brown sugar, the pie crust. It was just incredible. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. So that's how you know it's good.
So the tummy ache was worth it,
yes,
is what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that was your favorite?
Probably, yeah. It's definitely up there. Another spot that I really enjoyed was Paolo Gelato and Chocolate. They're in Westtown.
Oh, yeah. What'd they have?
The chef there, he is an award-winning chef from Poland. He's got a few other gelato shops out there, mm-hmm. but he and his wife moved to Chicago and they wanted to keep the dream alive here.
Okay.
So there, he's very particular about the ingredients that he uses. Everything is carefully sourced. And his stracciatella ice cream, it's like a chocolate gelato, is just incredible. Mm. Another one that I haven't been able to stop thinking about, it's got like a dark chocolate with a hint of strawberry in it. It's just divine.
Are you hungry yet, John?
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
I mean, you had me at award-winning chef from Poland. Right.
Right.
I mean, he definitely has it on lock. But I'm curious, what qualifies as artisanal?
I think anything that just has a lot of care and thought put into it. Again, the ingredients are really important.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that I talked to for this story just emphasized how important it is to use seasonal, to use fresh, homemade. And I think that's what really sets them apart from the rest. You know, anybody can serve, soft serve, but what makes your ice cream special?
Yes. You know, and as we try to beat the heat all together here, folks, I mean, do you have, Mike and John, any artisanal ice cream flavors on your personal summer bucket list?
I'm going to have to disappoint you and say that the ice cream I really crave when it's this hot out is just the cheapest vanilla soft serve I can find.
Oh my God. John, you are we twins?
And I have like...
It's a shame how many soft serve vanilla cones I've had in the last 2 weeks. Just like pulling over, you know, on my way home. And I'm like, oh, let me just get a dollar cone.
At like Chick-fil-A, McDonald's. I don't know the last time I've actually eaten any food from McDonald's, but... I love their soft serve. I love Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. I love Dairy Queen. So,
but this stuff Umbar is talking about sounds pretty fancy.
Yes, I mean, with all the options in Chicago, how can you two sit here and say that?
We're basic.
Wow.
What can you say? No, they do sound amazing, and ice cream that's made with actual, you know, real dairy and good seasonal ingredients is not to be sneered at all.
Yeah.
Toppings too, though. So Shaw Michelle on the list. One of my favorites, the peach cobbler. You get their peach cobbler, it's warm, and then they'll put a scoop of their handcrafted. They have this special vanilla. I can't remember what it's called.
Grandma's Old Fashioned.
It's so Grandma's good old with fashioned. The peach cobbler. Yes. McDonald's could never do that.
Facts.
Okay. All right. We get it. Okay. All right.
I stand chastised.
There were some vegan options too, Umbar.
Yes.
Tell us more.
So... Runaway Cow, they're in Bridgeport, just blocks away from White Sox Park. They specialize in vegan treats. The owner, Allison, and her husband, so Allison grew up in a Dairy Queen, not literally, but her grandfather owned a location in Lansing, a south suburb, and then that got passed on to her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so she worked summers there in college and high school and beyond, and always just had the dream of opening up her own vegan spot that had treats that invoked that Dairy Queen nostalgia. Mm. You know, we all have memories of going to Dairy Queen in the summer after a Little League game, after
right.
a family event, whatever it is. So they're doing all of that, but vegan. So for someone like me, who's lactose intolerant, it's a great alternative, and it tastes just like the real thing too.
Well, shout out to you as a lactose intolerant person for taking on this assignment.
I love the risk.
You took one for the team.
I really did.
You really, really did. So does Chicago have a favorite ice cream flavor?
That's a great question. I did some research about that yesterday, and a couple of lists turned up some interesting things. I think it was beach.com that made their own list. And in Illinois, Blue Moon is a really popular flavor.
Mm-hmm.
That's
sure
one
is.
That is on the menu at Shaw Michelle's. And it's I know it's a fan favorite there. So I think it's fair to say that Blue Moon is a popular flavor here.
I don't know. I would have thought it would be like hot dog ice cream or deep dish.
Ooh.
You know, I'm just giving you all the Chicago typicals here. Don't email me, folks, with the angry letters. It was a joke. John, it is hot, as we've been talking about, and nobody wants to just go into a kitchen and turn on a hot stove or a hot oven. So earlier this month, New York's famed Katz Deli had this pop-up in Chicago, and I know that it got one of our producers thinking about just the traditions of delis here in the city. So there used to be a lot. There used to be many of them. Now there aren't as many. Did something happen?
Yeah. I mean, basically what happened was that if you're talking about Jewish delis as opposed to Italian ones, there used to be a lot. And the Jewish population of Chicago, you know, sort of started in on the South Side and then kept moving north. They went up to Skokie, they went out to the suburbs. And so, you know, along the way, there were, you know, and this is long before I ever lived in Chicago. So, but there were, you know, there was a deli that had a carousel in it with a horse on a pole that people remember fondly.
Oh, wow.
There was a whole chain of delis called Ashkenaz. The Illinois Holocaust Museum actually had a show about delis I went to last year, which was it was fun to see all these pictures of these old delis. You know, did you see, what was that movie, The Blues Brothers?
Yes, absolutely.
So
it's a rite of passage.
Yeah, of course.
And once you move here.
So the Blues Club that was shown in that was actually an old Chicago deli.
Oh.
And so, you know, that was down on Maxwell Street where the market was.
But the current deli scene is still alive?
It's alive. It's attenuated. You know, the two that people talk about a lot are Manny's, which is, you know, down near where Maxwell Street used to be. It's like a, if you've been there, it's like sort of like a big cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really famous for the corned beef, and it's good. And they, you know, hand slice it, and they, you know, pile it as high as, you know, the Sears Tower, basically. So it's, you know, this, you know, huge sandwich.
That's a
lot. It's a lot. And it's really good. They also have, like, you know, sort of like cafeteria, like food in a, but sort of yummy cafeteria food, like good stuff.
The good kind?
The good kind, yeah. The kind you actually sort of want to eat, like, you know, stuffed cabbage and things like that.
Right.
So, and then there's Kaufman's, which is up in Skokie, and that's more like a market. You know, there's no place to sit down there. And they've got, I like Kaufman's a little better for me because the corned beef, you can specify which kind you want. Like, oh. I don't know, do you like it, I'll throw this out, do you like it fattier or leaner when you, anybody?
Do you like corned beef?
Do you like corned beef? That's a starter.
That's a great
Let's
question.
Start there.
Vegetarian over here?
Okay.
So no corned beef for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I've actually never had corned beef, like, I guess the traditional way. I'm Puerto Rican and grew up eating it, like, styled that way, like, flavored that way, but never...
Yeah.
Never
yeah.
in a
I think we
in
eat it the,
or...
in the same way. I'm Jamaican, so we,
yeah,
you know.
The Caribbean style.
Exactly. But yeah, to answer your question, John, I think not as fatty.
Not as fatty,
I don't
okay.
think we like all,
oh, yeah. So yeah, you we can like do that. I kind of, you know, I kind of like
you
the fat.
You dibble and dabble?
I dibble and dabble. I kind of go for the fat sometimes, you
okay.
know.
And there's no shame in that?
No, there is not. And it's not something I want to eat all the time, but when I want it, it's great. And you know,
and it looks like Kaufman's gives you the choice.
They do, and they have a nice choice of bread, and they make pickles there that are like either all sour or half sour. You know, it sort of, you know, suggests an earlier time. You
love
know?
That.
Yeah, so that's really cool.
Anybody at the table have a favorite summer sandwich?
Ooh.
I always go for just like in a classic Italian sub
mm-hmm.
with the provolone with all the meat, and I get everything on it.
All of the
olive
things.
Oil, the seasoning. That's my favorite go-to. I go to Alan Joe's in Franklin Park. They're on Addison Ave. They've been around for decades, and they're incredible.
Yeah.
They're an Italian deli. I can't speak for anything else on their menu because I get the
you
same
go for
thing
the one thing
every time, and it's always worth it.
I love that.
Yes, yes.
Any sandwiches come to mind,
oh,
Mike?
Oh, yes. I stay in my little bubble, so Humboldt House is down the street for mm-hmm. me. They got this veggie sandwich with this garlic mayo, and they put portobello mushrooms on it. I take it to the 606 and eat it.
Mm.
Perfect, perfect.
John?
When
you're not eating corned beef?
I mean, which is, you know, most of my life. I mean, you know, I've only, you know, dedicate a couple days a year to, you know, total corned beef.
I feel like I know
immersion.
You so well now. Corned beef or soft serve?
Oh, soft serve. I know. I really am sounding super basic. I love a good banh mi. And so
yes.
I like to go up to Bale and whatever that area is called, Argyle, Asia on Argyle, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
uptown. I'm having a brain issue, but what is that sandwich shop that's way up north? Can I look at my list?
Oh, sure.
Sorry.
While you do that,
yes.
I got to ask you about fan favorite JP Graziano.
Yes, that is cool. So
it
JP
opened decades ago.
Yeah, and opened in 1937, and you know it has a great Italian sub. I love going there. It's got the oil and vinegar on it and the seasoning and all that. You can get it hot.
What do you think's the secret that's made them stick around for so long?
You know, it's always service. And the service there's so great. And it's all honor system. Like, you order your sandwich. They have these, you know, huge long loaves of bread and they cut off a piece. And you order your sandwich and they're like, yeah, just go up to the cashier and tell them what you ordered. And, you know, if you want any chips or soda, just help yourself and just let them know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all honor system. You wait for them to call your sandwich and you go. But it's a charming place. It
mm-hmm.
really feels like it's out of a, you know, a different era.
Yeah, that charm makes me think of even the place you just recommended, the Italian place, Dunbar, right?
Is
that what
Joe's.
Brings you back?
Yeah, it's there's something special about, you know, I can get the same sandwich at Jimmy John's or Jersey Mike's, but it's something special about like the family recipe being used there. not to talk down on Alan Jones, but sometimes I like the attitude, like the sass that you get from walking into an Italian deli like that. It's just unbeatable, and it's a part of the vibe.
So we got our sandwich, we got our ice cream. Now we need somewhere to sit and enjoy all of this, right? Where can we go, Mike?
You can go to the outdoor theater, but please find shade. Because it's hot. It's hot out there.
Maybe a nighttime show.
And a lot of these shows are nighttime. I was curious if some of these would actually be canceled. And what I'm hearing is they're going to be at night, so the sun should be down. So it shouldn't be too hot.
So business as usual.
But still a cold drink, maybe some ice cream, wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. So talk to us about some recommendations, some specifics.
Sure. I mean, top of my list is going to be A Midsummer Night's Dream. Chicago Shakespeare Theater, our Navy Pier neighbor, they are hosting this. It's at parks all around the city. I was going to give some dates, but they're like every day. So please go to our website.
Oh, amazing.
But it's so cool because they're doing a 45-minute version of the show. So they've slimmed it down. But it's meant to be fun. It's meant for the family. People come out together. You get a picnic blanket. You get some really good Shakespeare. And less than an hour later, you're out of there.
Yeah. What's the background story of Shakespeare in the Park?
Well, I mean, if we want to go back to 1599.
Yes, please. No.
So the original theater that was staging Shakespeare's works and his company's works, the Globe, it was an amphitheater. So they were already open air outside. So the idea of watching Shakespeare outside really does come from the tradition of this is how his plays were meant to be consumed. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, it's homage to those olden days. But as, you know, festivals took over, it kind of turned into this alternative to the indoor typical theater. Ticket prices are now through the roof. We all know that. A lot of these outdoor shows are free and they're family friendly. And they're like traditional-ish, I would say. So like, you know, you have Midsummer Flight, you know, they'll tweak the language so that it's not so Shakespearean, so that people can understand it. And
I love that, modernizing it.
So that it's more digestible. So yeah, you get a free show. It's in a park. Anybody could come. You can bring the whole family. So it's all about accessibility.
Yeah, accessibility. Yeah, cost is definitely a huge factor, I think, in all of these things that we're talking about. But I think once you're providing that service or that production that people can really gravitate toward, and I think it's going to be something that makes them come back.
Absolutely. And it's fun. So many of these shows are like rom-coms. It's all of these just hijinks and mistaken identity and affairs and all of these. It's a fun time for theater, and it's outside. It's an experience.
Yeah.
You know, I remember taking our kids when they were little to see Shakespeare in an outdoor theater, and they were just enthralled by it because
About how old were they?
They were like between, I would say, 6 and 12.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, mistaken identities and people, you know, a lot of slapstick and everything. And we were sitting out on a lawn and it was a beautiful day. And they were just absolutely couldn't stop talking about it. That was like the favorite thing we did that summer.
No, it's perfect. Yeah. I've also spoken with people who are like, you know, you have littler kids. They can kind of wonder. Because you're in a park.
They can sort of run around on the side.
Yeah, you're not just in a seat. You can move. And yeah, so it's really good for
kids.
Just
tell them, don't go too far.
Right.
While we're here. Were there musicals on your list?
Yes.
Because I love me a musical.
Okay, so you have options. If you want music, you have options. I think the top of my list, so Broadway in Chicago, they have a summer concert. It's in Millennium Park. It is free. If you can go, I would recommend it. It is August 11th, 6:15 p.m. They're going to do the songs from MJ the musical.
Ooh.
And for those who don't know, that is the musical version of Michael Jackson's Life. I've never seen a theater sing so animated at any show that I've ever been to. People were standing, people were dancing in the aisles. So, you know, if you come to this show, you're going to be outside. The actual cast is going to come. They're going to perform those songs. It's going to be a blast.
Lots of crowd participation.
So,
Ambar, you know what I'm curious about is, you know, we left people hanging here with this delicious artisanal ice cream. But is there a way that you say Chicagoans can take part and do sort of what you did and plan maybe their own Chicago ice cream tour?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are your recommendations for that?
So we designed our list as a bucket list. So you can actually go to the story on our website and you can save the little bucket list to your phone. It's a checklist.
Oh, that's so neat.
Yes, it's a checklist. All of the places are in alphabetical order. There's a map there too, so you can choose kind of like your starting point based on where you live. And then just go from there. And we'd love if people would send in like them, like pictures of themselves at the ice cream spots, trying the different flavors and, you know, just getting to know the wow. owners of these places. So if anyone's out there listening and they want to do this, you can send, photos of yourself to arts@wbez.com.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tortilla ice cream is on there too. Did
yes.
you try that? Was that part of the?
Yeah.
So was that part of what gave you that tummy ache?
Yeah, I didn't get to try that, but the chef there, Eddie Lopez, is part of the inspiration for like this whole piece that we did. Dorothy, my editor and coworker, she did a profile on him.
Oh, nice.
But there he created tortilla ice cream specifically for Bueno Days Coffee in Little Village. And there they serve it as an affogato. So it's, you know, you get the espresso, you get the scoop of the tortilla ice cream. And I imagine it's incredible.
I'm just blown away by the range on this list. Folks, you do have to check this out at wbez.org. Mike, look perplexed.
I mean, I have that because one of these ice creams I've heard, the grapevine, has cheese on it.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about the cheese flavored ice cream.
Is that
a Chicago thing?
It's an Ecuadorian thing.
Ooh, okay.
And Mike, as you know, I've already gotten hate mail about including the nubes.
Really?
They are in Uptown. So husband and wife, Angel and Nube Zumba, love that name. They've always had a dream to open up their own Ecuadorian restaurant here. And 2 years ago, they opened Nubes, and there they have ice cream inspired by and using the fruits of Ecuador. So there's the tamarillo, which is a tree tomato, soursop, which is basically like, not guava. People know what it is.
Like guanabana, maybe?
Yeah, guanabana. I know the Spanish. I know the Spanish word. I don't know the word in English. And then they obviously have like more traditional flavors like guava, passion fruit. And then they top it off with some nice Ecuadorian cheese. You wouldn't think it works, but it's that combination of sweet and savory. It's incredible.
So you liked it. It was good.
Yeah, I liked it.
Oh, she definitely liked
it. I'll try it. I'm intrigued.
And again, I tried it despite being lactose intolerant. I took one for the team.
Thank you so much.
And it was worth it.
I'll be
Thank
checking
you for
off
your
my
service.
Bucket list.
John, any new kids on the block when it comes to these delis that we should know? New favorites that we can add to our list?
Yeah, and also a very quick backtrack. I did look up the name of that that name that flew out of my brain. It's JT's Genuine Sandwich Shop. And the reason I wanted to mention it is they have this killer vegetarian sandwich for Mike. It's beans and greens. Ooh. It's white beans, like kind of really just delicious, mushy white beans. Rapini, kind of, you know, like, you know, broccoli rob. And just provolone cheese, and it's fantastic.
Yum. Our engineer is co-signing. He loves that place.
Yeah.
That place is really good.
Yeah.
They have a great steak and potato sandwich.
They do.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have you've done the job. You've convinced me. It's time to get some ice cream, get me a sandwich, and head out to the park. Our special thanks to Mike Davis, WBEZ's theater reporter, Ambar Colon, Chicago Sun-Times arts and culture reporter, and John Kessler, Chicago Magazine dining critic. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
Thank
me.
You. Yeah.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Sienna Greaves and Gina Montagna. Sienna also mixed this episode. It was edited by Dan Tucker. We bring you news you can use to stay safe and informed. So please consider subscribing so that you never miss a conversation. Visit wbez.org/reset. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.